it might be the hippest ticket. The hippest ticket to ever run. President, Vice President, we thank Dr. Cornel West and Dr. Malina Abdullah for that first hour today. And so you now know who Dr. Cornel West has chosen as his running mate to be President and Vice President on the ticket. We thank them for choosing this platform to announce that. I'm seeing it all over the news now, CNN and beyond. So it means something. Let me just take a point of personal privilege, if I might. There's no doubt about the fact that Dr. West and I have known each other for many, many years. I think you know that. But it means something when you have people, in this case, African-American people, who choose a black media platform. Let me be very clear about this. Who choose a black media outlet to make such a significant announcement. That means a great deal to me, and I hope it means a great deal to you. Whatever you think of Cornel West, Malina Abdullah, and this campaign, and they're going to give you a choice, of course, between now and November when you head to the polls. But it means something, aside from everything else, that a significant announcement of this magnitude, of this order, would be made on a black media platform. And for that reason, I'm eternally grateful to Dr. West and Dr. Abdullah for choosing this program in national syndication to make that announcement. They could have gone to CNN or MSNBC or a million other places, but they chose this platform, and for that, I am once again eternally grateful. So we move from Dr. West and Dr. Abdullah running their independent campaign for the White House to a conversation in this hour with the man who could have been turned down the opportunity to be the No Labels presidential candidate, speaking of independent campaigns for the White House. He is former Lieutenant Governor Jeff Duncan of Georgia. I've got a few questions for him as we move through this hour. I'm pleased to have him on this program. Governor Duncan, how are you, sir?
I'm great. How about yourself?
If I complained, I'd be an ingrate, man. I am doing well, and I'm delighted to have you on this program. Glad we have an hour. You heard me just say a moment ago that in our first hour today, this is a three-hour program, and our first hour, we were just joined by Dr. Cornel West, who announced on this program his running mate for president of these United States. Let me just ask you a couple broad questions, and then we'll get to why you turned down No Labels and what you want to spend your time doing instead. But broadly speaking, even though you turned down No Labels, what's your sense of this, as Dr. West would say, duopoly that we have in this country, that we have just these two choices? I said on this program the other day that there's nothing else in my life that basically I'm stuck with just two choices. I got more than two choices at fast food. I got more than two choices for my smartphone. I got more than two choices. I could run the list. You take my point. But when it comes to voting, we tend to have just these two choices. And whenever you talk about a third party candidate, people go crazy. You turn down No Labels again. We'll get to that in a moment. But what's your thought broadly about third parties in this country?
I think an overwhelming majority of Americans can't believe we're here with just these two options for such an important job. The numbers I looked at when I was walking through the paces of considering the No Labels position were upwards of 70% of Americans don't like the options they've got to vote for, and understandably so. I think in previous historical cycles, if you were a third party candidate or were supporting a third party candidate, you would probably have to spend 15 or 20 minutes explaining why you were in that position. Mm-hmm. In today's environment, I think it takes about 2 milliseconds to explain to somebody why a third party effort makes sense. But going back to your duopathy situation, mm-hmm. is the system is built for two. And the rules and regs and the nomination process and the timing mechanisms are really, really built for two. And so you've got to swim against the current with epic proportion to try to gain enough notoriety to win the electoral votes to get there.
We'll talk about that system built for two. We'll talk about why we go so apoplectic, why we just lose our minds, why third-party candidacies are really a third rail, if you will, in American politics. A lot to talk about in this hour. And, of course, we'll get into this No Labels party. As you probably read some days ago, they have been trying, No Labels, to field a candidate for quite a while. They started with Joe Manchin. There was a lot of talk about him, a senator out of West Virginia. He didn't want to do it. Lieutenant Governor Jeff Duncan in Georgia former lieutenant governor, didn't want to do it. So they went through a number of people and just announced days ago that they are not going to field a candidate this time around. So they've given up on this election. No Labels will not field a candidate. They couldn't find the right person to say yes to their entreaties. But again, there's a lot to talk about in this hour about why we just, again, go crazy when we talk about third parties. And I'm curious as to why he turned down the chance to be the No Labels presidential candidate. His name is Jeff Duncan, and you're listening to him right now on Tavis Smiley.
This is getting good.
Yeah, man.
Tavis Smiley, continues when we come forward. More honesty than you can handle.
More empowerment than you can imagine.
You're tuned in to Tavis Smiley.
Tavis Smiley and former Lieutenant Governor Jeff Duncan of Georgia. Again, in case you've just tuned in, we spent the hour. It's all over the network news. We spent the first hour today talking to Cornel West, who announced on this program his running mate, Dr. Malina Abdullah. So it's the first time ever this country has seen two African Americans on a ticket running for the White House. Both African American, both academics. Interesting factoid, Dr. Malina, not unlike the current vice president, is also from Northern California. She's also an AKA, and she also went to Howard University. So that's going to be fascinating, and she made it very clear. Beyond that, she and Kamala Harris don't have very much in common. So it's going to be fascinating watching this campaign as they move through this year, making their case to the American people and certainly to the African American community about why they should be considered as your choice, as opposed to Biden and Harris or Trump and whomever. But there could have been another choice. I mean, there are other choices. Bobby Kennedy's out there running as an independent. Jill Stein for the Green Party is out there. So there are a number of people running. I don't recall in my lifetime that there have been this many independent or third party candidacies at one time for the presidency. And you can have your own point of view about whether that hurts Joe Biden, whether that hurts Donald Trump. We shall see in the coming months. But there are a whole lot of people running, comparatively speaking, for the White House this time around. Lieutenant Governor Jeff Duncan, former Lieutenant Governor in Georgia, could have been on this program today making the case for his campaign as the candidate for the No Labels Party. I mentioned earlier that No Labels could not field a candidate this time around. So they announced days ago that they're not going to attempt that this year. Joe Lieberman, former vice president, speaking of vice presidents, Joe Lieberman, who passed away some days ago, was one of the persons involved in this No Labels effort to field a candidate. That's a whole nother conversation. He is a lifelong Democrat, and yet here he was trying to field a candidate for the No Labels Party. Let me just start with that, and then we'll move forward, Lieutenant Governor Duncan. What say you, what do you know about the involvement of Joe Lieberman and what it says to the nation that a lifelong Democrat, a vice presidential running mate himself back in the day, would be toying with the idea, not toying with, serious about the idea of establishing a new party called No Labels and advancing their candidate? Lieutenant Governor Duncan, are you there? Can you hear me now? Okay, we got all kinds of technical issues today. The devil is alive. First hour, second hour. We're going to get this right, but for some reason he cannot hear me. We're going to work this out again in case you've just tuned in. Our guest is Lieutenant Governor, former Lieutenant Governor in Georgia, Jeff Duncan. And we spent the first hour with Cornel West, Malina Abdullah. Wanted to weave from that into this hour, still talking about these third party candidates and why we in this country just sort of, you know, our hair gets set on fire when we engage any conversation about another party outside of this corporate duopoly, as Dr. West might put it. So Lieutenant Governor Duncan is back. I was asking a moment ago about Joe Lieberman and what it says to you, that one who was a lifelong Democrat was himself a running mate as vice president or for vice president, would be seriously engaged prior to his death with establishing a candidate for another party called No Labels.
One of the best takeaways for me throughout the month-long process of figuring out if I wanted to do this or not was getting to meet and get to know Senator Joe Lieberman. He's a fantastic human being. Every room he walked into, his reputation followed him, and that was a reputation of being a problem solver. He didn't walk in the room as some sort of deep-rooted partisan trying to carry the water of a Democratic Party or Republican-leaning positions. It was just about being a good human and a great decision maker. And that was the person I really got to know. And that was really the secret sauce to keeping me engaged throughout that process. And then, you know, when I actually talked to him on the Monday, I guess this would have been two Mondays ago, we had a fantastic conversation after I made the decision not to run. And we talked about what it would look like to just keep this energy going. And then unfortunately he fell on Tuesday and passed away on Wednesday, but what a fantastic human. And what it says is, I think what 70% of America is saying is we've got to figure out a way to elect problem solvers, people who actually don't just campaign on the border or campaign on the budget or campaign on national security issues, but actually work with the other team, to coin a phrase, to solve real problems. Mm-hmm. And that's what Joe Lieberman was all about. And that was the general sense I had around No Labels as I got to meet those individuals, whether it be donors or folks in the organization or just supporters.
Tell me more then about why, as I advance this conversation, tell me more about why you were considering being the candidate for the No Labels Party and ultimately why you decided and opted not to.
Yeah, it started pretty simple. I woke up and didn't have anybody to vote for. I've said it a million times. I'm on CNN as a contributor, and so it's no mystery that I've made that known. I just was never going to vote for Donald Trump, and I did not politically or policy-wise line up with Joe Biden. And so I started the process by saying, look, I need somebody to vote for. And then, you know, I hung around the hoop with No Labels for a few months, listening to them talk about their strategy, about their potential ticket that they were going to form. And then one thing led to another. And I entertained the conversation to be in consideration. And it really was a fantastic, you know, I think 3 or 4 weeks was about the timeline of getting to literally take a lap around the country and meet their key supporters and their key donors and really build this energy towards trying to figure out how we could field a ticket that had a chance to win. And, you know, I spent 6 years in the minor leagues playing professional baseball, and I was never guaranteed a win, but I took the mound every night because I was guaranteed to be able to compete. And that's what this process was about for me, was the structure in place around No Labels, was the polling in place, was the fundraising in place, was all of the elements necessary to literally throw a Hail Mary pass from one end zone to the next there to win. And ultimately I came back to twofold. One is No Labels had done an amazing job of getting ready for that moment, but there was still some questions as to whether or not it could all come together. But personally, I think for my wife and I, and we've got three kids still in school, is just for Jeff Duncan to break the strings of gravity on a national race this quickly with that tight of a timeline, I just didn't think it was going to be a feasible process.
Yep. There are a few questions I want to ask in that regard. Let me start by saying yesterday on this program, since you mentioned that you were a minor league pitcher for years, I played baseball. I wasn't quite as good as you. I never made it to the minor leagues, but I wish I had. But I loved baseball and still do for that matter. But yesterday on this program, we spent some time in tribute to Hank Aaron. Speaking of Atlanta, speaking of Georgia, where you are, they just announced the other day that they're building a new statue, unveiling a new statue of Hank Aaron in the Baseball Hall of Fame in Cooperstown. I was a huge Hank Aaron fan, had a chance to meet him a number of times, interviewed him over the course of my career, and so just another shout out to Hank Aaron. I look forward to seeing that statue at Cooperstown. Did you ever meet Hank Aaron there in Georgia?
I did. I was just thinking, I was hoping you were going to take a breath so I could share this story. I met Hank Aaron, and anybody who's ever met Hank Aaron's probably overly impressed with the size of his hands.
Yes.
The guy has the biggest hands I've ever seen or had, and I mentioned it to him. Of course, he knew I'd played professional baseball, and I shook his hand, and I said, you know, I just can't imagine walking around with hands that big every day. And, we talked about that was really a big key to his success. He handled that bat like it was a toothpick in his hands.
Yeah. No, he was quite amazing, and so we celebrate the life and legacy of Hank Aaron, and look forward again to this statue in his honor being unveiled in the Baseball Hall of Fame. That said, back to our politics here. You said something a moment ago that got my attention. Of course, many of us have seen your analysis and watch you as a contributor on CNN, and in explaining why you turned down the chance to be the No Labels candidate, you said to me that you initially considered it because you woke up one day and realized you had nobody to vote for. You couldn't vote and would never vote for Donald Trump. And Joe Biden's politics didn't necessarily align with yours. I hear you on that. Let me come to the first part of that. What say you, or what can you tell me and tell this audience about those Republicans who would never again, if they did the first time, vote for Donald Trump. And what that says about the polling data that we're looking at every day that suggests to us that if the race were held today, Donald Trump would defeat Joe Biden. I mean, he's leading him in all of these polls, no matter how close they might be. We're told he's leading him in six or seven swing states. But for those persons inside the Republican Party who would never vote for Donald Trump, give me a sense of what that feels like and what you think that reality is beyond the polling that we're being told every day about how well he's doing or will do.
Yeah, a couple of things to unpack there. I think, one, you can size that audience at probably a floor of about 30%, and that's who was supporting Nikki Haley from state to state to state. Those are the folks that were just disgusted with the lies, with the intimidation, with the lack of leadership or vision or character. But what it says for people like me, that 30%, and I think the number's actually higher. I mean, I think the number's north of 50%. I mean, I would say there's probably less than 10% of anybody who actually thinks the election was rigged and that Donald Trump is this fearless leader. They see what I see. But, you know, when I wake up as a Republican, I feel like I'm just a victim of gravity. Some of my friends on the other side of the aisle, you know, I think feel the same way, right? They just feel like, gosh, I wish I had a young visionary Democrat that was forward-looking and ready, able-bodied and ready to go tackle the world. I think Democrats feel the same way. But I, as a Republican, feel like a victim of gravity, that I have no choices to actually take the next step, because I think we all have to think about what does the day after this next election look like, right? I don't know who wins. I actually think Joe Biden probably beats the brakes off Donald Trump again, because Donald Trump is just such a flawed human. And I think at the end of the day that the suburbs around America are going to voice their vote or not show up to vote. And that's going to mean Joe Biden wins. But I think we have to take ourselves to the day after the election or the day after somebody gets sworn in. And does anything change in our current situation? Does anybody really think we have a genuine visionary leader ready to tackle one of the most complex jobs ever in the history of mankind? And the answer is no. Mm-hmm. And so I think the takeaway to all of this is we're headed towards this Biden versus Trump. I got it. And of course, Mr. West is making his efforts and the other third party efforts. So, but we're racing towards this end zone called the election. And I just feel like Americans are like, don't ever let us get here again. Mm-hmm. Right. We can't, like, the problems are too serious. People who can't afford groceries because they're living check to check. People who are trying to just crack the door and get into home ownership one time. Folks that are worried about their family or friends in Israel. Folks that are worried about all kinds of complex issues that there's no serious solutions for. Like for me, as a father of three kids, I wake up scared to death what this national debt is really going to truly do to my kids' future, right? I was able to start a business and be successful and sell it and continue to move on my career. But will my kids have that same opportunity? Will they be able to, in a multi-trillion dollar debt environment, be able to afford a business loan at some point if they want to start a business? Will they be able to afford a home loan? These are scary things that affect all Americans, but yet nobody on the menu to pick from is an actual solution to this, to the problems.
Let me go back to that 30% number that you mentioned a moment ago. And to your mind, it's north of 30%, maybe even north of 50%. Obviously, we will find out in November. One thing that we do know right now, though, is that while we keep reading these stories, and I said it a moment ago, that Donald Trump would win today if the election were held, every poll, every survey, every study has everybody upset, or not upset, but certainly those on the left, at least, upset and scared and concerned about whether or not Donald Trump could, in fact, be reelected. When you look inside the data, when you look more deeply, as you have, you see that while Donald Trump has run the table and Nikki Haley, nobody else had stood a chance against this guy, he won everywhere, but he also underperformed everywhere. How do you read that data that while he's winning, he has been underperforming in this primary season, if I could even call it a primary season?
That Donald Trump has two traits. One, he's a loudmouth. And two, he's a loser. It's followed him everywhere he's gone. He's been a loudmouth and a loser in every facet of his professional career and in his political career. And so it's hard to show up to vote. You think how many people do you think were like, I'm so excited to vote for somebody who's got four indictments in multiple state and federal jurisdictions. He could be in jail the day he's sworn in. He could have an ankle bracelet on the day he's sworn in. I mean, there's some that might fire them up, but not, I don't believe, serious-minded individuals.
Yeah.
That's why I think you see this fall off. That's why I think when you watch the election play out in November, there's just going to be this huge audience that just can't get themselves up off the couch in the car to the polls to vote for somebody who's demonstrated such a lack of character. And to me, outside of some sort of health event for either one of them, at obviously nobody knows the future, but just being as gentle as I can with the topic, outside of any sort of health event, I don't think Donald Trump's able to convince the suburbs for a third time to all of a sudden he's got the secret sauce to go fix the problems of this country.
Yeah. When we come forward, I want to pose this question to you, and it's simply this. When you were in that phase where you can, where you were considering stepping forward as the candidate for another third-party campaign, this would be No Labels, when you were considering the candidacy for No Labels, did you ever consider that your running, speaking of third parties, might pull votes away from either of these guys, as the saying goes, pull votes away as if they own them, they do not, but pull votes away and allow one of them to be reelected? You made it clear that you under no condition would vote for Donald Trump. You also made it clear that your politics do not align with Joe Biden. It seems to me that it's possible that if we had yet another third-party candidate, we got Bobby Kennedy, we got Cornel West, we got Jill Stein, there are others, if we'd had No Labels and all the money behind it, that would have been given us another choice. And again, I may be talking out of both sides of my mouth. On the one hand, I like having more choices, I said earlier. But I'm asking you specifically when we come forward, whether you ever gave consideration to the fact that you're being yet another third-party candidate, had you accepted the No Labels mantra or platform, whether that might have aided and abetted getting one of these guys reelected and you didn't like either one of them. We'll talk about that part. With former Lieutenant Governor of Georgia who turned down the chance to be the No Labels presidential candidate, you're listening to him right now on Tavis Smiley.
More of Tavis Smiley when we come forward. Helping to make you the most knowledgeable person in your circle of friends. This is Tavis Smiley.
Tavis Smiley and former Lieutenant Governor of Georgia, Jeff Duncan, who is our guest in this hour, who turned down the opportunity to be the No Labels candidate to spend his time working on what he calls GOP 2.0. We'll talk about that, his new book and his effort in that regard, whether or not there can, in fact, be a new GOP or a GOP 2.0. We'll, again, unpack that in a moment. In case you've just tuned in, you missed our first hour breaking news here. It's all over the national news now. Cornel West. Dr. Cornel West was on this program today in our first hour announcing his vice presidential running mate. She is Dr. Malina Abdullah, one of the founders of Black Lives Matter in Los Angeles, where this studio sits, where I sit in this studio. She's certainly well known here in California and known through Black Lives Matter across the nation. So he has chosen essentially a Black Lives Matter person, a brilliant academic, to be his running mate. Bobby Kennedy, RFK Jr., chose his running mate days ago, a billionaire who is the former wife of one of the Google founders. So Bobby Kennedy went for the money, and Cornel West went for the organization. We shall see how this all works out in the months to come. But again, Dr. Cornel West announced earlier on this program, we're grateful for him choosing this platform, announced that his running mate is Dr. Malina Abdullah. That was our first hour. We're now in the second hour, and we're talking again to Lieutenant Governor Jeff Duncan, former Lieutenant Governor in Georgia, about his consideration of the No Labels third party platform that he ultimately decided to say no to. But I was asking him before the break whether or not he gave any consideration to being a third party candidate and what that might do, as the narrative goes, pulling votes from one guy or the other guy, namely Biden or Trump, and whether or not that would have made him all the more a pariah to some people for pulling votes away from person X or person Y. Your thoughts, Lieutenant Governor Duncan?
Within minutes of the Wall Street Journal article breaking that I was in consideration for the No Labels presidential nominee, my phone started ringing, as you can imagine. And it was all types of things. It was attaboys and that, you know, go good luck and what are you crazy? But the equal balanced weight was around folks saying, you're just going to hand this over. You're going to be a spoiler and you're going to hand this over to Biden, or you're going to be a spoiler and you're going to hand this over to Trump. And that was just a consistent. And I told my wife at one point, a couple of days into the process, I was like, I'm going to start keeping tick marks because it feels like this is about a 50-50 sway, right? Mm. It feels like both sides are equally telling me. And then as I started to dive into the info and the polling and the information that No Labels and other groups were providing, that's exactly what we saw. It was an equal poll on both sides, because the 70% that we're talking about that are disgruntled with the selections that they've got are really pretty balanced between each side. It's just common sense folks that are slightly conservative, slightly liberal, hardworking individuals, good-natured people that just want somebody to go solve the problems that they elected them to solve, or, you know, elected them for. And that to me, so I think that the net takeaway was, I don't think there was going to be a thumb on the scale spoiler, but I do think whoever did win would be blamed by the losing group for, you know, spoiling the effort in one way, shape, or form. But look, that's politics. If you got thin skin, you need to go find a new sport to play.
Nope, fair enough. Let me just ask you this question. I want to tee it up if I can. First, there's all kinds of conversation, as you well know. You just referenced some of it. About the future of the Republican Party post Donald Trump. We know that he is the presumptive nominee for his party this time around, which is unique and historic in some ways, because that means that Donald Trump will have been the nominee for this party for 3 consecutive election cycles. That is rare in our politics in this duopoly. That's rare, as you well know. 3 times he has been, once he secures the official nomination at the convention this summer, 3 times consecutively that he has been the nominee for his party. All that said, at some point, win or lose, at some point, Donald Trump is going to be off the scene. I'm reminded of the Clinton days. It seemed like the Clintons would never get off the stage. And I love the Clintons, but it seemed like they would never get off the stage. But at some point, you know, life goes on, and the Clintons eventually had to get off the stage. At some point, Donald Trump is going to have to exit the stage. And the conversation will begin, I think, in earnest about what the Republican Party looks like post Donald Trump. And there, again, stories and conversations about that right now. There aren't as many conversations about the future of the Democratic Party post Joe Biden, but there's going to be a reckoning and maybe even a bloodletting on that side as well. So we might not like this sequel that we're about to get of Trump v. Biden, but the good news, if I can put it that way, is that in just a little while, both of these guys will be off the stage, these older white guys, and there's going to be a serious come to Jesus meeting on the right and on the left about the future of those parties. What do you think those conversations are going to be like or be about?
Win or lose in November, Donald Trump will officially kill GOP 1.0. It's just going to be dead, right? And he has taken us into the gutter morally, financially. You name it, he's taken the Republican Party in the gutter. And I do hope that we quickly get ourselves back together and we become conservative, just not angry and crazy. And that really warms up the room. When I go give a speech, I'm like, hey, I'm a Republican, love me or hate me, but just know I'm not angry and I'm not crazy. And that kind of warms up the crowd, right? That's reassuring. But, oh, by the way, it has the added benefit of being true. I think Democrats, too, are in this sense, the 70% that we keep talking about, are tired of the outside wings running the parties, right? I'm certainly tired of the outside right wing running and dictating the steps and policy positions that we take. And I know a number of my friends on the left are same thing. They just don't feel like it fits the best future of the country. And so my hope is that we migrate back towards this. I talk about it in my book, GOP 2.0. Mm-hmm. I talk about this pet project, PET, policy, empathy, and tone. And one of the things I say in my speeches is, you know, hey, the most partisan thing about my book is the title, because if you're a Democrat, this stuff works too. Policy, empathy, and tone. If we just led our discussions around elected office and campaigns around why we think our policies make sense and invite the other side to give us some input, right? Just the old Ronald Reagan quote, like, if you're with me 80% of the time, you're a friend, not a traitor. And using empathy doesn't mean you agree with somebody else's position, but it means you take the time to understand it, mm-hmm. right? And then the T is tone. Use a tone that invites somebody back to keep talking to you about the next issue. Use a tone that invites people to actually pay attention to what you're saying and how you're saying it. PET, pet project, to me, that's the future of hopefully my party. And I know that a number of my friends on the other side of the aisle they feel like that's hopefully a direction that their party takes too.
When we come forward, I want to talk more about this GOP 2.0 that you write about in your book, and this acronym PET. I specifically want to talk about the E, the empathy. I've got questions about why in this country, obviously you and I both know there's a distinct difference between empathy and sympathy, but why it is that we lack such empathy, why we can't find ways into being empathetic, into being concerned about the other person's point of view, putting ourselves in their shoes. Why do we lack such empathy in our politics? I'm not naive in asking it, but I'm going to ask it anyway when we come forward with a former lieutenant governor in Georgia who turned down the No Parties label, Jeff Duncan, on Tavis Smiley.
You're listening to Tavis Smiley.
Tavis Smiley.
Ranked number 45 on the Heavy 100 list of the 100 most important radio talk show hosts in America. Made fresh daily in the Mert Park,
Los Angeles, California.
You're listening to Tavis Smiley.
Tavis Smiley and former lieutenant governor in Georgia, Jeff Duncan, who turned down the opportunity to be the No Labels Party candidate. They've announced that they are not fielding a candidate this year, but there are a number of independents and third parties who are running, including Cornel West, on this program earlier today to announce his running mate, who is Dr. Malina Abdullah. You can read about that on all of our platforms, and certainly you're going to, I just saw it on CNN and MS, it's everywhere now. But that announcement was made on this program earlier today. I could have been talking to Jeff Duncan about his platform, but as I said earlier, he turned down the No Labels Party opportunity to represent as its candidate. Instead, he's working on what he calls helping to build and establish GOP 2.0. It is the title and subject of his new book. And in the book, he has an acronym, PET, Policy, Empathy, and Tone. Let me interrogate the empathy part if I can. Why is it, again, no naivete in asking this, but why is it that you think we lack the capacity to be empathetic in our politics these days?
I don't think it's rewarded in the ballot box, which is a shallow reason to not be empathetic towards somebody. I mean, we're just better humans than that. This whole notion of love your neighbor, right? I mean, you don't even have to be spiritual, and you know that's a really good idea to love your neighbor. Mm-hmm. And the problem is we've been trained to desensitize ourselves to love our neighbor if they vote the same way we do. Love our neighbor if they love the same way we do. Mm-hmm. Love our neighbor if they, you know, and you fill in the blank. And that's not, that's the antithesis of love your neighbor. You're supposed to love your neighbor more if they don't do anything that you do. And you mentioned something going to break. You know, what's the difference between empathy and sympathy? Sympathy is feeling bad for somebody's situation. Empathy is taking the time to understand somebody's situation.
That's right.
And I think as we walk into these big complicated issues, and I had to learn this as lieutenant governor in a state that had friction galore for the 4 years I was there. I mean, we had a pandemic like everybody else did. We had civil unrest, Ahmaud Arbery, and all of the horrible situations that wrapped around that. We had the election chaos with Donald Trump and his lies. Empathy became a three-dimensional, you know, word for me because it was so valuable when I took the time to understand the other side. When I as a Republican walked into the Democratic caucus meetings before our Senate convened and said, "Help me understand what I don't know about this issue. Why are you guys so dug in on this?" And when I just took the time to understand their position, I didn't necessarily always agree with them, but man, it took the edge off of my distaste for their position. And hopefully, I believe it's true too, it took the edge off of their position around thinking about where I stood on a particular issue. Empathy is the pathway forward. Now, it's a big mature word and it's not really tough, but it's real. And we've got to get back to understanding the other side. I mean, look, go down the issues: guns, abortion, immigration. These are all issues that you will never be a wisdom-filled decision maker unless you wrap yourself with empathy.
Yep. You likely see him from time to time on CNN as one of their brilliant analysts. But in his former life, he was lieutenant governor of the state of Georgia and could have been the candidate for the No Labels Party, passed on that opportunity to spend his time building, architecting what he calls GOP 2.0. When we come forward in our remaining moments with former Lieutenant Governor Jeff Duncan, I want to ask him to help me imagine what that looks like. I'm still trying to imagine in my own mind what the Democratic Party is going to look like post Joe Biden. But let's see what the other side is going to look like post Donald Trump. For me, that couldn't come soon enough. I digress on that. More when we come forward on Tavis Smiley.
Seeking the truth, speaking the truth. This is the Tavis Smiley Show.
Let's get back to more of this rich dialogue with Tavis Smiley.
Got 4 minutes left here with former Lieutenant Governor Jeff Duncan in Georgia, CNN contributor. Democrats are going to have to do this same exercise, engage this same exercise. There'll be some vexing. There'll be some arm twisting, some hand wringing. But there's going to be a reckoning in the Democratic Party post Joe Biden. We'll get to that conversation later on this program in the days to come. But in this hour, we talk about GOP. The Grand Ole Party 2.0. What does that look like to your mind, Jeff Duncan?
A leader who is serious, is a visionary, that doesn't have to work with the other side but wants to work with the other side, who's able to tackle tough issues like immigration in a mature way, where we can talk about border security and we can talk about immigration reform, where we can talk about spending and curbing this unsustainable trajectory, because we're able to have conversations across the aisle. And last but not least, talk in a bipartisan way about national security. Anybody who says Democrats are not American or Republicans aren't American, we are Americans and we need to work together to lead the world. We need to tackle big issues as a country internally, but we also need to help lead the world in a bipartisan way.
How do you, how do you get to a GOP 2.0 so long as gerrymandering is, to my mind, the threat to this democracy that it is?
The job of president has very little to do with your day-to-day, my day-to-day, or anybody listening's day-to-day, right? They don't control what your kids are listening or learning in their classroom, what traffic you sit in, or how safe your streets are. But what a president does that's so important is they set the tempo for the country. They set the tone and tenor of how we win elections and how we lead all the way down the ballot to city councils. If the president of the United States is not taking these issues serious and only cares about winning the next election, then so will every candidate between the top of the ballot and the bottom of the ballot. We need a president to show up slightly left, slightly right, that's able to lead and to be able to talk about things more than just trying to win the next election, but talk about solutions to problems. That's, to me, how we get through this next chunk of time in this vacuum of leadership that we feel across the country.
What if, or put another way, do you in fact believe that the damage that Donald Trump has done to your party is irreparable?
It is. That's why GOP 2.0 has got to be something real. I wrote the book 3 years ago thinking that by the time we got to 2024, this would be a done issue and Donald Trump would be retired golfing somewhere. I was wrong. But I wasn't wrong. I was wrong about the timing, but I wasn't wrong about the end game. And the end game is our party, as we know it, is non-existent. It's unwinnable. It's unapproachable. And quite honestly, it's embarrassing most days.
How concerned are you finally that many fellow citizens, given the choices or lack thereof, depending on how one looks at it, will sit this election out? And if they do, what's that mean?
Well, it is going to be a turnout game. I mean, with unfavorables as high as they are for both Biden and Trump, it's just there's not a lot of conviction to get up out of your day-to-day life and go vote for somebody. So I do think we'll see some pullbacks in that. I don't know. There's a lot of time between here and there. I do think the third parties are going to have to – they're going to help shape some of these conversations around specific policies. They're going to have to push the envelope to force these candidates to say other than, superficial – high-level statements around different subjects and policies are going to force the issue. But, yes, there's a lot of time between here and there.
His name is Jeff Duncan, former lieutenant governor in the state of Georgia, could have been the No Labels candidate for president this time around. They have punted that opportunity this election cycle. We'll see what happens in the years to come, but he's busy doing his work to build a GOP 2.0. We'll see what that looks like as well in the coming years. Lieutenant Governor Duncan, good to have you on this program. Thank you for your time. I appreciate your insight, sir.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. Have a great day.
Same to you. When we come forward in our third and final hour today, two conversations. We will start with maternal health for black women, and we'll conclude with this bias test that has kept thousands of black folk from getting kidney transplants. We'll do that when we come forward on Tavis Smiley.